Good to be in church. God loves you this morning. The song Love Lifted Me was very appropriate this morning for our service. We're going to talk about without love, there's no worship, and without worship, there's no service. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 22 this morning. Let me find a microphone here that I like. Let me get this blue one over here. Without love. So here in Matthew 22, around verse 36, the disciples are asking the Lord an important question, a very important question. They've been following him now, listening to him preach. And they said in Matthew 22, 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Then another place in Mark 12, 30, it said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, watch it, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, the first and the great commandment. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you this morning, Father, and teach us to love you more, to love you in a more godly way, Father, to show our love, Lord, through honoring your word and keeping your commandments and living for you and being lights in a dark world, Lord. And let the glorious light of the gospel today shine forth and give us guidance on how we ought to act, how we should live. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you're doing here today. Bless every home that is represented here, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Hey, now listen, before a man goes off and tries to serve God, there's some things that come before serving God that you need to get right. There's an order. God always has an order. Now, obviously, salvation, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I know there's probably a lot of people today that are serving without the Savior. Don't let that be you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, then your service at best will only salve a wound without ever bringing healing. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So let's say you've got that part down. You've trusted in Jesus Christ for your salvation. You know you're saved. But for some reason, you've just never brought yourself to get out and go into the vineyards and go to work. There's an old Southern gospel song. I forget the name of it, but it goes about my table's full, but my house is full. My table's full, but my fields are empty. Who's going to go out in the vineyards and go to work for me today? There's a lot of that in the church today. So you've got that part down of getting saved, and you just can't seem to bring yourself to the fact of doing your best, giving God your talents, giving God your time, doing something to bring glory to God in the way of serving God. And so obviously that would beg the question, why not? Why aren't you serving God? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ loved you enough to die for you. Isn't that right? He took the punishment for your sins. He was on the cross, but I'm the one that should have been there, but he took my place. He became my substitute on the cross and paid my sin debt. He pulled you out of the fire. He took you out of the miry clay and set your feet upon a rock and established your goings. That's what the Lord did for you. He saved you from eternal hell. He loved you enough to go all in for you. Then why in the world would we refuse to serve him? Now, I'm not going to be mean this morning, but I'm just trying to be real with the things of God today. Back in the day, Pastor Jack Grigsby preached a great message entitled Unrequited Love. Obviously, unrequited love is talking about loving someone who don't love you back. I went through that in high school several times. Well, before then, I've told this story before. I fell in love with Linda Anderson, first woman I ever loved. I was 10 and she was 9. She didn't love me back. Got on the school bus one morning. She wouldn't even speak to me. Went up and sat by an 11-year-old. This broke my heart. Unrequited love. Hey, God loved you. He loved you so much, in fact, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the problem is, a lot of folks have never loved him back. It's been all one-sided. Some of you have been in some of those relationships. All one-sided. Hey, nothing hurts worse than to love someone with all your heart, all your strength, your mind, and soul, and they just refuse to love you back. Love lifted me. Let me say this. Loving God is not, it's not just something God is wishing for or hoping that you will do. If you're a Christian here this morning and you believe the book, you believe God's holy word, loving God is a commandment from the Lord. Not just a commandment, but the first and great commandment. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, all your strength. Hey, that they didn't say, Master, what is the great suggestion in the law? It's a command. God commands you to love God. Well, I don't like anybody telling me to do anything. No, that's right. That's why you're not serving God today. Don't want to be told what to do. God commands us to love the Jew. That's why we take a stand with Israel. God says we got to love the Jew. We love the Jew, and then God blesses us. He told Abraham, I will bless him that blesses thee and curse him that curses thee. So because God said it, I'm going to stand with the Jew. I'm going to love the Jew just because God told me to. Master, what is a great commandment in the law? God commands us to love him with everything we've got. Everything we've got to give, God says to love him with all that. Now, the first place that love shows up in the Bible is over in Genesis chapter 22. You're familiar. Most of you here are familiar with the law first mentioned. Normally, the first place in Scripture that a word appears, the term is defined normally, generally throughout Scripture by that context in which you see it. The first place in the Bible referred to theology as the law of first mention. And we find the love first mentioned in Genesis 22, talking about Abraham and his son Isaac. Genesis 22:2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So according to the law first mentioned here, love is defined as the kind of love that a father has to his son. Thine only son. He was Abraham's only begotten son. Before anyone serves God, before anyone goes out and gets into the vineyard for God, you got to first learn to love God. You got to do it God's way, God's roadmap. Without love, you're never going to worship God if you don't love him. And the power, there's power in worship. That's where the power comes from, showing God your adoration and your love and thanking him and praising him for what he's done for you. My. Without love, there'll be no worship, and without worship, there is usually no service. When the Lord rose from the tomb, he saw Mary. You remember the story he told Mary, saw Mary and said, go tell my disciples. And tell Peter, said, go meet me over there on that mountain in Galilee. She ran and told them, and they said, yeah, we know the place, and we'll head that way. And they get over there, and the Lord and the disciples, in this famous passage of Scripture is referred to as the Great Commission. Over in Matthew 28, we see this account. In Matthew 28, turn there with me. Matthew 28 and verse 18, we see the story. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now watch it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now that's the Great Commission. Man, what a day that was. Boy, he's ready for them to go out and start winning souls to Jesus Christ. But I want you to back up a little while you're there in that passage. Notice with me that before the Lord gave them this charge, before they were sent out, before they were sent into service, before they were told to go out and do anything, before that ever happened, back up with me to verse 16, Matthew 28, 16. When they first showed up, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Now watch it. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. Did you see that? Before you serve God, there needs to be some worship. There needs to be some love and adoration. You look up the word worship in Noah Webster's dictionary and it'll direct you to the word worth, value. What worth do you put on God, on your Savior? What value do you place on what Jesus Christ did for you? How much value or importance do you place on your Savior? How much you do that will determine his worth to you. Your worship, your adoration, your thanks to him and for him is determined by just how much he's worth to you. A lot of folks don't worship because they just don't think much about it. Oh, I'm glad he died for me. Hey, he brought you out of the pits of hell. He took you out of the miry clay. You were destined for eternal torment, and God saved you. We ought to show some adoration, some love, some affection, some thankfulness to our Lord and Savior. Hey, without love, there'll be no worship. And without worship, there'll be no service. Without service, well, it's in love. Worship and service that you, it's in love, worship and service that you're going to find satisfaction and fulfillment in your Christian life. Outside of that, you're going to always be disappointed. Love him. Let him know you love him. Worship him. Tell him how thankful you are, how happy you are, how good he's been to you, and praise him. Let those tears of thankfulness fall down your face and say, God, I'm just so thankful for who you are, Lord. I'm thankful, Lord, that you saved me, a wretch, a vile person like me, Lord. You loved enough to save me. As Christians, as a Christian, you should approach every day with a knowledge. I mentioned this. With that knowledge that you are a servant of the Most High God. Whenever I start feeling a little down on myself and start getting stressed out over different burdens from the church or different burdens within the family or different burdens within my own battle. I've got to come back. The way I get back and away from that and get on solid ground is to know within my heart and thank God that I am a servant today of the Most High God. Paul said when he got saved, said, I am seated. We are seated together as Christians in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Hey, I'm going to be a servant of the Most High God not only today, but in 10,000 years from now, I'm going to be a servant of the Most High God. So you put one foot in front of the other as God's servant. Whatever you do, let it point to the service that God has called you to do. But problem is I want to put my stuff first. And God don't want my stuff to be first. He wants his stuff to be first. He wants the preeminence. He wants us to give him the preeminence in all things. Approach every day with the knowledge that you are a servant of the Most High God. Gave his only begotten son. What he did for you, boy, he deserves anything and everything. And more that we can give back to him. The Lord who you now love, the Lord who you should adore and worship and give thanks to constantly, the Lord who loved you before you ever loved him. Not, Bible says not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Look at something with me in Matthew 4:8. Interesting passage here in Matthew 4:8. The Lord, he was being tempted 40 days with the devil. He's up on the mountain. It says in Matthew 4:8, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. One thing I want you to notice here is, you know, the devil didn't ask the Lord to serve him. He said, all these things shall I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. See, the devil knew that if he got his worship, he would have his service. Without love, there's no worship. Without worship, there's no service. You know what the Lord said? The Lord, it says, then saith Jesus unto him, I'm in Matthew 4:10, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You know our problem, you know my problem? I'm too busy serving myself. On my honor, I will do my best to help myself and cheat the rest. Self-serving. Well, I don't have time. I know that neighbor down the road, boy, I know he needs Jesus. I hope God sends somebody to him to talk to him about Jesus. Now, I've got a lot of grass that needs mowed today. Then we got the ball games tonight, and NCIS starts its new season on. Getting kind of quiet in here. All right. So my question this morning, my challenge is, are you serving God today? Maybe you're not serving because you've never learned to worship. 1 Chronicles 16:29, the Bible says, give unto the Lord the glory, do his name. Bring an offering and come before him, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Maybe you've never worshiped him because you've never quite loved him like he commanded you to do. Are you serving or are you merely observing? Hey, you don't have to sit on the bench on God's team. You don't have to sit on the bench. He wants you to get into the game. You're part of the team. You're a very important part. Your job may be just to pray while others are, but the prayer is serving. If I want something done, I'd rather call a couple prayer warriors than 15 helpers. Because I know if anything's done, it needs to be done in the strength and the power of Almighty God. You need to get those prayers flowing. Serving or merely observing? I'm sure as many as are serving today, there's many serving without salvation. I'm sure there are many also who are saved but not serving. That's a tough place to be, folks, because see, what we're doing is we're taking in all the perks and the benefits of eternal life, taking in all those perks and benefits of God paying our sin debt, paying off our debt, but who have never allowed themselves to love God or to worship God enough to serve God. Anybody ever have take somebody into your home? Stay with you. And man, they're faithful to dinner time. And they're faithful to all that good stuff. But they never ask you where the lawnmower is, or they never ask you where this is, or hey, where's the broom at? Do you have a mop here? Anybody ever been there? Duh, church. Hey, God's provided a way for you. He's provided a home for you. And you just want to sit around and take in all the perks and benefits. My house is full. My tables are full. But my fields are empty. God's looking for someone to serve him today. And not just anyone. Someone who loves him enough to worship him. Someone who worships him enough to serve him. A fellow said, well, I got saved, but I just don't have the faith. I just don't think I have enough faith to do anything for God. Well, how do you... The answer to that question is very simple. How do you get faith? The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You lack faith? You're not faith? You don't have the faith you think to get out and serve God? Then get under preaching. Read the Bible. Read the book. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein, according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, then shalt thou have good success. God speaks to us through his precious word. My. The answer to that is to put yourself under Bible preaching and get into the book. John 5:9, the Bible says, the Lord speaking said, search the scriptures. Lord said that. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. Watch it. And they are they which testify of me. That book testifies of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Another fellow said, well, how can I learn to love God? I mean, the Bible tells me to love God, but I don't know if I'm loving him the right way. How do I increase my love for God? Well, the answer to that is to understand that that kind of love is a fruit of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the kind of love we're talking about. That's a godly love, not a sensual, fleshy love. And hope, Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God, that's godly love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. God puts that love in your heart. He sheds it abroad in your heart. You've got to be sensitive to it. God teaches us how to love. Just as God teaches us to love one another, that love of God is taught to us by the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. That's a godly love, just as God loves us. He teaches us to love him back and to love each other. Jesus said this in John 17:26, and I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, and the love wherewith thou hast loved me, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. God puts that love in you. Jesus prayed that the Father would put that love in your heart. Maybe you've become desensitized to that kind of love. Oh, you know all about the physical, sensual desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, but you've never had the desire for the things of God and the holiness of God. And the purity of God and the power of God and the presence of God and perfection of God. If you'll let him, he'll teach you that kind of love. Master, what is the first commandment? First and great commandment is this: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Do you love him this morning? Maybe it's a worship problem. Maybe you never really brought yourself to show him your worship because you just haven't learned that love thing quite like you should. If you'll come, I'm done here. Everyone stand up this morning. I ran a little over time. Maybe we'll get out early tonight. But God loves you. You should adore him and love him back. Kenina Langray went to the alumni last night? Moores Hill alumni, the class of 97, somewhere in there. And Kenny, did you catch her looking at any of her old boyfriends? Good. They're all dead, aren't they? Then let me move on. Do you love God? Do you love God? He commands you to love him. If you don't love him enough, then get under the preaching of his word and get into the book. He'll teach you that kind of love. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That love will lead to worship, and your worship will lead to you doing something to the glory of God. It's called service. The altar's open. If you never trusted Christ this morning, get salvation out of the way first. That the first thing you do is to get saved. Say, Lord, I'm trusting you to save my soul. The altar is open as we sing.